Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Andrew Chernoff is back with us, host and reporter for Wish TV in Indianapolis, and he is currently somewhere between Indianapolis and Oklahoma City because he's got a Game 7 to get to. Andrew, where are you?
We are about 6 miles away from, I think, St. Louis. I know we're still a couple hundred miles away, I think, from Buc-ee's, though. That's obviously one of the focal points on this long drive down here.
Yeah, no, Buc-ee's, home of anything you could ever buy at a gas station, including any variety of beef jerky that's ever been invented and some that haven't yet somehow. I don't know how that works scientifically or chronologically, but it's actually true. Okay, well, Andrew, if you see a giant arch, that is St. Louis. So that's my Syracuse education for you.
Oh, I thought that was Minneapolis. My bad. My geography is really bad. That must be the issue.
Yeah, not as bad as our friend Neff's, but that's a different story, and now I have to send him this clip. All right. I've known Andrew since we were at Syracuse together. He joined us like 2 weeks ago at the start of the NBA Finals, and oh, what a series it's been, Andrew. Let's start off last night with Haliburton. We knew he was going to play. When did you have an inkling that he was going to be able to play well?
I think right off the bat when he was starting to shoot the ball and took command, knowing what was at stake. It was one of those things, when Tyrese is on, when he is not afraid to shoot, when he's aggressive, you know he's going to do his thing, and he's going to, he may miss a couple shots, but at least it's the mentality, right? So last night when he wanted to shoot the ball, when he took control early on, was taking it up the court, not necessarily as much as usual. I think they were trying to ease him into it a little bit, but when he was making plays or driving to the basket, hit that floater early in the first quarter, you're thinking, okay, he's good to go. But it was funny. Every time he was running up and down the court, I know a lot of us were glued to, like, okay, is he limping? Is he good? And it worked out great with it being a blowout because he didn't have to play 48 minutes. You know what I mean? So it worked out great, but hell of a performance by Tyrese last night without question, especially considering he wasn't 100%, but that was a great opportunity. Now he gets a few days rest, and now we'll see what happens coming up on Sunday night.
We didn't know, obviously, what we were going to get from Haliburton last night, and it seemed like some of his teammates were extra locked in. What have you seen from a guy like Drew Nembhard, covering him, not just in these playoffs where he is so locked in last night, you could tell he was ready to take on a bigger offensive load. Carlisle makes the smart adjustment to say, hey, we're not going to have you pick up full court. We need you a little bit more offensively. But what have you seen from covering his career that maybe told you he would be ready for a moment like that?
Last year in the playoffs, Andrew Nembhard was extremely impressive, and just look at the Boston series. So if for whatever reason, and this is Andrew Nembhard, he's a competitor. And I asked Rick Carlisle about Nembhard throughout the season, and he always says he's just the ultimate competitor. And he does it on the big stage all the time. You look at even his stats of when he hits three or more three-pointers in a game, obviously, he's played way fewer playoff games than regular season games, but the number of games he's done that, it's increased. It's basically the same number in the playoffs as it is in all of his regular season games. The guy just steps up in the biggest moments, and listen, he's got the toughest task of anyone on the court in this entire series, and that's guarding Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, him and Aaron Nesmith, depending on what the situation is. The guy is busting his rear end on defense and has sort of earned like that's his thing. Everyone knows how good of a defensive player he is, but when he gets into the flow of the offense as well, that's when he has big games. Now, we saw him struggle in Game 5. He turned the ball over quite a few times, but when he's on like he was last night, it's just another weapon that the Pacers can rely on.
Andrew Chernoff, Wish TV in Indy with us. And the resilience of this Pacers team has been talked about quite a bit, the ability to have a bounce back after, you know, disappointing Game 5, come out and look as good as you can possibly look in Game 6. What is it about this team, and who are some of maybe the own key cogs that give them that kind of spine, Andrew?
I think it just starts with, I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Craig, but it's the whole mentality of a Rick Carlisle-led team where they just move on. And whether it was after Game 1, we know they had a bad performance Game 2, but right after Game 1, they focused on, we can't dwell on what just happened. We got to turn the page to Game 2. And we had a bad, or it could be vice versa. We had a really bad game. We got to turn the page and focus on the next game. That's been their mentality this entire postseason, and it's working. And it's just this whole mentality from, and it's, they're so good after games of having the same line, right? Which for those of us in the media sometimes gets annoying because it's like, okay, guys, you clearly all huddled up and agreed on what you guys were going to say, but they truly believe that. And it's the same quote, and it's always, okay, we won Game 6. We got to now tune out the noise. We know the challenge at hand for Game 7. And that's just minutes after winning one of the biggest games in franchise history last night. So they're just focused on what's ahead, and they're always keeping that next goal in mind. And that's what's led this team to now be just one win away from their first ever NBA championship.
So what was the kind of mood in the locker room, you know, the gist of kind of what went down in the locker room last night? Because that is, I mean, what a win, what an atmosphere. There's a finality to it because it's the last home game. You're going on the road for Game 7. How would you describe the temperament of the players, the coaches last night in the Pacers locker room?
This was the most focused forward after a loss, I think, that I've seen this team immediately after a game. It's the quickest turnaround to be like, okay, we're not even focused on Game 6. We know what the opportunity is now going forward. And that's the vibe that I got from that locker room or from the podium last night with all these guys was, hey, great atmosphere, great win. Now we have an opportunity. We know this is it. This is going to be the last game that we have regardless of what happens this season. And not many teams get this opportunity. We're focused. We got to play well. They weren't even really talking, quite frankly, much about what was happening in Game 6. They were already turning the page to go to Game 7 because I think they understand this isn't guaranteed every year, right? This is cool, and we've all talked about how OKC and Indiana is built for maybe multiple years of this, just the way that the organization is structured for both of those teams, and this could be a rivalry that we see in the NBA Finals, quite frankly, for years to come, but that's not guaranteed. So everyone in that Pacers locker room understands this isn't guaranteed. And that's what I felt like after the game in particular yesterday. They know the opportunity they've got coming up on Sunday, and they're locked in. And I'm sure OKC's feeling the same way.
Yeah, we know that OKC can bounce back in that Denver series. They got beat in Game 6 and were able to win in historic fashion in Game 7. So we know they're going to come to play. Andrew Chernoff, Wish TV, Indianapolis, with us here on the Hoffman Show. I want to go back to something you said two answers ago, Andrew, about they all have the same messaging. And there are some teams that I've covered, and I'm sure that you've covered, where they say the same things and you don't believe it because you can tell they don't believe it. And then there's other times that teams say the same thing because it's not that they've been fed PR talking points. Like, the messaging on a substantive basis is clearly getting through to them. At what point during this season did you start to hear that? Or maybe even last season, did you feel this team coalescing that they really are all rowing the boat in the same direction?
I think it was honestly that run last year where they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals because we started to get that taste of, okay, we just talked to Obi. He said this. It's similar to what TJ said, similar to what Pascal said. And you start, you know, getting this whole thing of everyone keeps going back to the certain phrasing or whatever it may be. And last night, for instance, TJ McConnell said, hey, the crowd was great last night, awesome, but we know what's at stake, and it's just us against the world, basically. I'm paraphrasing a little bit what he said. All we've got is us coming up in Game 7. We heard that from other guys last night. All we have is us. And this whole Pacers thing, and OKC, again, they're in a sense near images for they're both teams. Like, not every team, we know that, right? There's a lot of egos involved. There's a lot of personality, and you may not be able to mesh. If you've got a certain superstar or multiple superstars, you're going to have drama. I mean, you can go through the list of recent history, right, on those teams. But this Pacers team in particular, they all row the boat in the same direction, and that's why they're at this point. And you started seeing that last year when they made that run to the postseason, that deep postseason run in this offseason, when everyone across the country was saying, hey, that was a fluke run for the Pacers last year. Everyone else that they played was hurt. And the Pacers literally used that as motivation, and it made them mad. And they've talked about that. And I think that ever since that offseason, this past offseason, they just have all used that same fuel because they all know what they're capable of, and it's all pushed them in the right direction.
All right, last question for Andrew Chernoff, Wish TV, Indianapolis, as he is somewhere near St. Louis, which is somewhere between Indianapolis and Oklahoma City, where he's heading for Game 7. Andrew, does TJ McConnell know how tall he is?
No. He's listed, I think, 6'1 or 6'2. I don't know, 6'1, 6'2, somewhere in that range. He's not that tall. Like, let's just call it what it is. I don't think he's that tall. He's around my height, and I'm not 6 feet tall. I am probably 5'10", but depending on, you know, what steak and shake, like sidebar thing where I'm standing against the door, maybe I'm 6 feet tall, but he's not that tall. But dude, there's very few players in the league that are not afraid to go up against a Chet Holmgren and just drive to the basket, and I'll either go up and under with it or kick it out. I'm not scared to go right at you, even if you're got a foot on me, right? So TJ McConnell, man, and listen, Pacers fans love that dude. We were even joking just on this drive down, Zach Salo, our photographer who's going with us, but if they win, there may be a TJ statue before anyone else, because this fan base loves TJ McConnell.
They're just going to build it themselves outside the arena. It's like, who commissioned that? I don't know, a guy, Jerry, he built it with his own hands.
Yes, listen, there's going to be some people volunteer for that without question. Yeah. Shoot, there may be multiple TJ McConnell statues across the state. Maybe it's going to be a new tourism thing where you can check off, go to this one, go to 20 of them across the state.
And you get a prize if you go to that. Scavenger hunt, Indiana's greatest attraction. Move over, yes. Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Hoosiers, who are they? Okay. We're going on a McConnell hunt.
Yes, it's going to definitely be on the top five things you can do on that TripAdvisor, things to do in Indiana.
Yeah. Yep. Amazing. Amazing. Andrew, have a blast at Game 7, dude. I'm really excited that you get to go cover this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy the heck out of it, my friend.
Absolutely. The place is going to be nuts. It's the Super Bowl right now of the NBA. We know it's at stake. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun. And whoever wins deserves this. It's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully you guys are too. Hopefully it's a great game.
No doubt. Can't wait. Sunday night, we'll be watching. You'll be there. Thanks, bud. Drive safe. And thanks to Zach for putting up with your end of the phone call and my end that he couldn't hear.
Yes. And also, Zach's putting up with my playlist anyway. So,
that's way worse.
I don't know how he does.
Honestly, tell Zach I said you're welcome for the break from the playlist.
Yes. Anytime. Techno music is great, Craig. Come on now. Get on board.
Anthony, get him off the phone. All right. Andrew Chernoff with us here on The Hoffman Show. Appreciate you, sir, especially when I don't have to hear your music. Okay. That's my good friend Andrew Chernoff. Again, Wish TV in Indianapolis. You can check out their website if you want more of his coverage. Man, like, Oklahoma City is going to be a blast on Sunday night. I'm sure Gainbridge is going to be a blast on Sunday night. They'll have a watch party with a bunch of people there. You know, that's become kind of a cool thing in the NBA, the road teams. You know, we did it here in 2018 with the Capitals in the Stanley Cup. I was at Capital One Arena watching them win. So man, those are cool events. And, I cannot wait for this game on Sunday night. All right. We're talking about some different stuff for the rest of the hour. Coming up at 5:30, Clinton Yates will join us talking about the Lakers sale. Take Command. Who's got the best offensive line in the NFC East? Logan and I debate that. Brittany Sykes, Mystics guard, coming up at 6 o'clock, our weekend preview, and then our official game 7 preview as well at 6:30. So we're locked and loaded as we're almost halfway through on a Friday here on the Team 980. It's Hoffman Show. Clint Yates joins us 5:30 here on the Team 980 ESPN and ESPN LA, commentator on the Lakers sale. Lots of questions coming out of that this week. We'll probably do some more on that big picture next week in terms of what it means for the sports world. But we will now talk about Anthony ending Darius's Madden career. You ended bro's career?
Yes. Sadly, it had to come to that, but, it was either me or him.
It was you or someone else had to do it. Unless this was the championship game.
Well, this was the divisional game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess he could have ended himself if he had beat you and ultimately won the Super Bowl. So to back up for a second, Darius, the producer, lead producer over at Grant and Danny, has a fairly serious Madden leak. And is Darius with us as well?
No.
Okay. I saw you turn another fader on. I was like, is there another microphone to be activated?
I think they're in the middle of a segment, so he couldn't.
Oh, he has to do his job?
Yeah.
Damn shame. Yeah, so you guys have a Madden league. Darius's been doing this forever. You have been a controversial figure in the league. We had a segment earlier in the season where I ruled that actually I was taking your side, that people needed to figure out how to stop what you were doing as opposed to complaining about it.
Yep.
It is a sim league, so there is an element of realism, but all you were doing was spamming stuff other people couldn't stop. That's real NFL football. That's what happens in 2025. You know, if the Pacers hadn't figured out how to stop the Shea J Dub pick and roll, they would have kept doing it. NBA, NFL, same thing. Hey, this rump. I mean, one of the most famous sequences in the history of the Washington Commanders franchise, Burgundy and Gold, is what? 50 gut. Hey, run it again, run it again, run it again. So I, no problem ruling in your favor there. But here you guys go, going down in the playoffs, and give me the quick rundown of the game here.
So it was a defensive battle, man. The final score ended up being 19-16. I edged them out in overtime, 19-16. The only offensive touchdown I scored was in overtime. Like, I was getting down. I could move the ball between the 20s, but once it got down to, you know, the red zone and, you know, even inside the 5, I just had to take my points. I was on the 1 yard line, Craig, and I said, I'm going to take my points.
Oh,
because,
man.
I had
and
gone.
You know how I feel about 23 yard field goals. I think they should be illegal.
I mean, the thing is, like, his defense is so good. So I just had to take my points. And on the other end, he took his points. He got down. He literally got to the 1 yard line and kicked the field
goal.
Also,
are QB sneaks legal?
Yeah, but, like, I know how to stop them.
But what if it's not a QB sneak? You don't know.
I mean, I don't, but, like, I position myself so if you are running a QB sneak.
How do you – you do, like, field goal block?
No. are you about to use this?
I don't play online, so
– Oh.
And I don't play defense in my franchise mode. I'm a guy who goes to offense only and says, let's go.
Oh, no, I do goal line defense. I pinch my defensive line, and then I also stand in the gap where I think the quarterback is going to sneak.
Mm. Yeah, so. I would say quarterback – I probably run – couple hundred quarterback sneaks on fourth and short and our third and short.
Yeah.
And I think I've been stopped once. Like the computer doesn't know how to handle it. Yeah, man. So defensive battle, you come out on top. And this was the last game. Why is he stopping playing? Like, what, he could just go to another league or start another league or play. I mean, it's his league. Can he play next season?
I mean, he could, but he's just tired of all the the complaining that goes on in the league, people not abiding by the rules. It's not necessarily me, but he's just saying in general.
Not necessarily.
I mean, some of the problems is with me, but yeah, like.
You're the NIL kid who forced Jay Wright into retirement.
Hey, look, he isn't the only person I sent to retirement. I sent Toby into retirement, and now Darius.
Damn,
so,
why did Toby have to retire?
Yeah, Toby had a 17-point lead against me. I scored 28 unanswered to start the second half. He quit mid-game, which is something you're not allowed to do, but people were doing that. So that's also one of the frustrations Darius had with the league. So now that he doesn't have to, you know, deal with playing me another year, he can just, you know, be free from it all.
Just go play franchise mode, man.
I don't think he's going to do that.
You think he's just not going to get Madden when it comes out?
Deep down, I think we're going to have another
season. It's a lot of time to. I mean, if gaming's been that big of a part, I mean, maybe he'll just go play FIFA or something. I don't know.
For eight, they've been doing this for 8-9 years.
I know.
Too good to
he's
be true.
He's going to have to find something to do.
Yeah.
All right. We'll follow up on Darius's well-being at a later date. And Anthony, good luck in the next round of the playoffs.
Thank you.
All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, Clinton Yates joins us to talk about the Lakers sale, and then we got a little take command for you, a little treat on a Friday, talking about the best offensive lines in the NFC East. And then Brittany Sykes, Mystics guard, joins us at 6 o'clock.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well. The free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, where you just saw a nice wave. That was like a royal wave from
pageant wave, sir. That's what it's called.
Oh, Pat. How am I supposed to know between the royal wave and the pageant wave?
Some of us spend time around beautiful people on a regular basis. Some of us don't. You know,
I don't. I do, just not at pageants. Which enough. Seems like I just won that argument. That's Clinton Yates, Clinton and Friends, ESPN Radio, and of course based out in Los Angeles, which brings us to what we are going to talk about today, Mr. Yates.
Yeah.
The $10 billion valuation of the Los Angeles Lakers that was the sale earlier this week. Again, they weren't sold for $10 billion. They were sold at a $10 billion valuation, which I think is just an important nerdy differentiator. But ultimately, sure. the point is, the Buss family is no longer going to be the majority owner of the Los Angeles Lakers, which to me is like the headline. And then you can get to like who now does own them and all of that kind of stuff. But when you saw that news, what was your reaction?
That was a jaw dropper. I don't know that I expected to see that before LeBron James exited the building, for lack of a better term, just on a quick short-term timing scale. More longly, I don't know that I expected to see it in the next 10 years, to be honest, simply because of how stubborn to some degree the Buss family had been about things before. And, you know, I got a decent amount of flack over the years from a lot of Los Angeles Lakers sports fans, never mind Los Angeles sports fans, never mind Lakers fans. After explaining to people, you got to understand that from the outside, this mom and pop operation is clearly not sustainable. Like, I don't care about the lore, and I honestly don't necessarily care about a bunch of rings that happened odd years ago. Like, that wasn't obviously going to work for a long time. People would take a lot of offense to that. However, now that they've sold, many of those same people are like, oh, thank God. And it's like, hold on. All right, which one was it? And I think there's an element of that with Lakers fans that is kind of interesting to investigate, because what it means for Los Angeles is one thing, what it means for Lakers fans is another, what it means for NBA fans is a third, and honestly, what it means for sports overall is a fourth, and it's a fascinating concept.
Yeah, that big one is what I want to tackle next week. Like we've talked about having my guy Ebenovi Williams from Sport to go on, because I think like someone who covers the ownership beat is kind of a good person to talk to about that. Sure. The NBA side of it, like if I'm another NBA team, I just went, oh, hell.
Yeah.
Like the Lakers lore and their ability to seemingly always get lucky with a generational player. Luka's already in the fold there for that. Now they're going to have the resources and know what to do. Well, I guess the know what to do part is the question. So let me ask you that. Like Jeannie Buss is still going to be in charge for the foreseeable future. But what does this mean in terms of the infrastructure for the Los Angeles Lakers? Like if they now have more money, do they actually know what to do with it?
So that's the large question. And here's the difference between what's happening in LA and what happened in Dallas, for example, where that governor in name only thing blew up in Mark Cuban's face. Ramona Shelburne was telling me this on the program yesterday. Jeannie has it in writing that she's going to be a part of this team. Cuban did not. And the reason why that's important is because it means that if nothing else, there is a documentable and verifiable chain of command that if something goes wrong, well, you could identify who the problem is, and thus that can be changed. This was the whole issue with the front office ever since Planet LeBron crashed into Laker Nation. There's always this question, who runs things? LeBron, Clutch, Pelinka, Linda Rambis of all random people. Like there were all sorts of names in these circles where you just didn't know who had what amount of influence. Now, Magic Johnson re-entering the fold as a part owner on the Guggenheim Group side is also an interesting element. But I think if nothing else, it organizes your setup in a way that means that you can't just kind of use everybody else to triangulate your excuses off of without ever actually changing anything. And that was the number one feeling that I had about this coming out of it. I was like, oh, thank God, some accountability in the Lakers front office, even if they don't come out of the gate getting all sorts of players, you know, maneuvering around the aprons and all that. But at least we know who's doing what. And I feel like as a fan, that's all you can really ask for.
Clint Yates, ESPN Radio, ESPN LA with us here on the Hoffman Show. So Mark Walters, the new majority owner,
sure.
The Guggenheim Group, who you mentioned there is his group. They own the Dodgers. What have you, as someone who especially spent a lot of time covering baseball and a lot of time there in LA with the Dodgers, like what, when they took over, what impressed you about what they did? Because they've obviously had tremendous success, including two World Series titles.
So a couple of different things. The main thing, though, however, is that they run their operation not just as in cash first, but skill first. And honestly, here's the thing I used to talk about all the time about the Commanders when the old regime was there. It wasn't so much just the losing. It wasn't so much just the boorishness, although all of that had a lot to do with why it was very difficult to look at that team. But you could tell that they had problems keeping talent because nobody wanted to work for a stupid person. And that is half the battle. Once you've got smart people in place, it's easier to get it going because other smart people want to be around. That is his best skill. Getting the people who know what they're doing and getting out of the way and still writing the checks. So as a result, the Dodgers have one of the best developmental programs. They're really good at scouting. They have a culture of accountability that actually matters. Basic adult team building stuff that not every franchise is good at. And so while I don't necessarily believe that that directly applies one-to-one to the NBA, I do think that overall, you've got a track record you can trust. 12 years, 12 playoff appearances, 4 World Series appearances, 2 wins. Sorry, that's about as good as it gets. Whether or not their titles on the division should have all turned in the World Series or not is a different matter. There's a baseline of production there that I think you've got to trust as a sports fan regarding how that's going to apply to the NBA as well.
So when you look at the Lakers org right now, like Pelinka to me is the guy that kind of stands out where I'm like, I wonder how long you're going to have your job here. Yeah. I mean, now it should be said, Walter was a minority partner in the Lakers over the past bunch of years. He's had a 20% stake in the team. So like nothing is going to be new to him, but you mentioned getting the right people involved. Pelinka, for those that don't know, the current general manager of the Lakers was a former agent, which is actually not uncommon in the NBA. Bob Myers is the greatest team builder, arguably the last 2 decades. Like he was an agent before he took the GM and then ultimately president job of Golden State. And now somehow he sits on that desk. Anyway, I don't want to get you in trouble with
Leon Rose does it for the Knicks too.
Leon Rose, former agent. But he was Kobe Bryant's agent and he was very tight with the Buss family. And that's kind of how he got the job. Now he also engineered the Luka trade to the extent that that wasn't engineered by the Dallas side of it. And there are some certain wins for him, but is Pelinka, like as you've taken calls and you've had experts on this week and heard people talk about it, do you think that Pelinka has all of a sudden a much shorter lease?
Well, there's a couple things about that. Number one, when they first took over the Dodgers, they kept Ned Coletti for like a good 2 seasons. And it wasn't just in face value. I don't think anybody is necessarily going to walk straight out of the door. However, the difference now is that the entire balance of power is completely different in this regard. When LeBron got there, he was bigger than the Lakers. Now, look at the LA power rankings in sports. LeBron is not bigger than the Lakers now, not with Luka there. He's not bigger than Luka as a player, technically. The Dodgers are a bigger deal than the Lakers. Shohei Ohtani is a 10 times bigger deal locally than all of these things. LeBron is like 5th on the power rankings in LA alone at this point. And there's an argument that if that's not how he wants to move anymore, because he doesn't have the same sort of pull he does in the franchise, not to say that it's untoward, it's just not a position he's used to being in. And he says, you know what? Maybe I'll just go somewhere else. If we're talking about the post-LeBron era in LA anyway, I don't necessarily know that it just means he's going to stay there because all of a sudden they're going to get all these other guys around him. There's a shift in how all of this works that I think is fascinating overall about what's going to happen. So do I think a Pelinka's job might be on the line? Sure. But I also think there's a whole host of other things that have to do with these interpersonal relationships that are going to matter for these next 2 years regarding how they build their roster, never mind who they keep in their front office.
Clint Yates with us on the Hoffman Show for his Friday visit. So where, like, I saw the statements from Luka saying, and the reporting that was like, yeah, he got a heads up by a couple minutes. And Luka's statement was like, I'm thrilled with this. I'm very excited. I'm excited to still work with Genie. I'm excited about everything.
Right.
What's the LeBron side of this? Like what, you know, he does have a player option that he could be gone this summer if he wanted to be.
He could be gone in a week, dog. What I'm saying is the lack of wording is the wording. I ain't heard nothing from LeBron. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm not meaning to say that's, I'm not trying to stir up controversy, not by any stretch of the imagination, but LeBron's out here on every other podcast in America talking about all these programs, talking about what's going on in the finals. It just seems interesting that there has yet to be a buy-in right now. And arguably that's above board. It might be more complicated than that. Lord knows what Rich Paul has going on. This might actually be a legitimate negotiation regarding, well, what are we doing? How is this going to work with the relationship that we had? Because they got a lot of clutch players as well. I don't always think everybody's got to rush into decisions just for the sake of media's timelines. Don't get me wrong. But silence from LeBron, when LeBron is not a silent guy, I think tells you all you need to know right now about the fact that there is a decision being made, whatever it may be, that requires some thinking. And that in itself is fascinating, because I'll tell you this. There are a lot of Lakers fans who wouldn't mind seeing LeBron walk away. Straight up. You know what I mean? They feel that he's taken up a lot of airspace, did not necessarily accrue himself to the LA market the way that he could have and kind of big time them for a while. I don't know that I agree with that. I think there's an element of purple and gold fans just being butthurt about that in general, but there is something there. There is some there regarding his status with the Lakers.
Interesting. We'll continue to follow that. I mean, shoot, this time next week will be after the draft, which means we're the 30th, I think, June 30th. That night is when free agency opens. So we'll be 4 days from that. So maybe we'll know more a week from now. We'll talk to Clinton then. Yates, look forward to in fact, wait, hold on. Is there a chance that...
There's a chance.
There's a chance. Okay.
There's a chance. The nature
of this conversation is different. Correct. Next week.
There's also a chance that the Knicks have a head coach next week, too.
You know, there's a chance I win the lottery. The show doesn't exist next week. That's Clinton Yates, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show on a Friday.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
45 minutes from now, we preview Game 7 of the NBA Finals. It's Friday here on The Hoffman Show, and about a little football treat. Who's got the best line in the NFC East as an offensive line? That was one of the topics we debated on Take Command this week. And here's Logan and I having that debate for your ears right now. Take Command Podcast, NFC East Divisional Position Rankings Edition. Got to come up with a better name. That's Logan. I'm Craig. Let's take a look now at the second most important part of an offense, Logan. No, not the skill positions. It's the offensive line. So real quick, just to run it down the way ESPN.com has the depth charts right now. The Commanders across the front from left to right. Tunsil, Allegretti, Biotish, Cosme, asterisk. Connerly, obviously Cosme, as everyone listening to this podcast probably knows, is out for a while with that torn ACL. It's to be some combination of Andrew Wiley, Nick Allegretti, and you know Brandon Coleman. I don't know why ESPN changed. They used to have it with Coleman at left guard. But it's going to be Tunsil, Coleman, Biotish, Allegretti, Wiley, or Nate Erbig, and then Josh Connerly at right tackle. For Philadelphia, Mailata at left tackle, Dickerson, Juergens, that's all the same. Tyler Steen currently listed as the right guard as the starter, replacing Mekhi Becton, who left in free agency, and then Lane Johnson, the future Hall of Famer. The Cowboys, Tyler Guyton, Tyler Smith, Cooper Beebe, Tyler Booker, Terrence Steele, three Tylers along your offensive line. Gotta love it. And then the Giants have Andrew Thomas, John Runyon Jr., John Michael Schmitz, Greg Van Roten, Jermaine Eluemunor. That's how the O-lines stack up. Philly, congrats. You win again.
Yeah, and I think the one kind of, you know, hole, the gap in the armor here is probably that right guard spot with Tyler Steen, who I think has played well in when he's been called upon, but definitely not as well as Mekhi Becton played last year. And I think the thing about them, Philly, is they always seem to just accrue and accumulate depth really well. Like Matt Pryor, he played left tackle for, I want to say the Colts last season, like was fine. But to me, he's always been a guard. He's like 6'8". He's like 370. He's a massive, massive human being. And they just find these dudes. And so if Tyler Steen's not playing well, here's a guy that's played a lot. He's played in Philly before.
They also Miles traded Hilton for Kenyon Green, who played a ton of minutes for Houston.
Former first-round pick who was a disaster in Houston. But I think the talent there, in conjunction with the offensive line coach, you're like, well, maybe this thing turns around. And then Miles Hilton, the guy they drafted in the fifth round for a tackle out of Michigan, I think would be an excellent fill-in for guard. You know, like he's long, he's big, he's heavy, he's strong, he's well coached, he's got a tremendous pedigree. So
by the way, early reports on Hinton are that like people are like, oh my God, this is Mailata all over again. Like the way he moves is sick.
So it was so funny. Like, and I'm not going to like draft season's funny to me, right? It's just a funny time of year for me. Like, so I remember going through guys and I was just like, let's check out this Miles Hilton guy. And he was on nobody's radar. No one was talking about him. And I was like, this dude's a starting, I don't know, guard tackle in the NFL like right now. And why are we not talking about him in the third or fourth round? And of course, Philly ends up with him. So you're like, right, he's going to go into a great system, a great environment, can develop for a year. So whatever. But the point is like, not only do they have an issue at right guard potentially. And I like Tyler Steen. I liked him coming out of Alabama a couple years ago.
Yeah.
They have contingencies if it doesn't go well. So that's why they're number one. And as long as Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata are there, they're going to be probably number one for the foreseeable future. I mean, Landon Dickerson is a borderline Pro Bowl guard. Like, I mean, what are we talking about here?
And they have
here?
Jeff Stoutland as the O-line coach. All right. Who's two? Did Washington do enough to become the second best O-line in the division?
I was just looking through this, and I think yes. We got to tread softly here, and I'm going to tell you why. So obviously, Laremy Tunsil, I think now is probably in contention for a conversation anyway about the best left tackle in the division, right? So that's awesome. Now you go Mailata, you go Andrews up in New York, whatever you want to do there, but he's close, right? So then you say, oh, if Brandon Coleman plays the way I think he can at left guard, man, that's going to be a really interesting dynamic. Tyler Biotish is, in my opinion, one of the best centers in the division. Cosme is one of the best guards in the division when healthy. Obviously, he's hurt right now, but Wiley at guard, I love that as well in terms of depth we've talked about. And then where's Connerly at is the million-dollar question for me. So the thing is, from a talent standpoint, you're like, yeah, let's get this thing cooking. The problem is like Brandon Coleman's playing a new position, right? Your starting right guard is hurt. And then you've got a rookie starting right tackle. So how do you feel about that? Obviously, on paper, when you look at their 40s and watch their arm length and how they move in space and watch them do all the run blocking stuff they do in training camp, you're like, man, this is going to be the second best group in football. But you get a guy who's never played NFL football before and a guy who's playing a new position and then a backup playing right. So that's where I'd say, like, on paper, I'm like, absolutely, hell yes. Yeah. But there are some question marks for sure.
Is Dallas the team that they are competing with? Are the Giants just sitting at the bottom of another offensive ranking here? Or did they do enough bringing in a guy like Van Roten, you know, getting some upgrades with Runyon? Like, did they do enough to at least get in the conversation here?
So Dallas to me is really interesting, and I'll tell you why. So obviously you got Terrence Steele, right, who has been banged up and hasn't quite looked like the guy that they paid, right? So where is he at? Like, every year I watch him, I'm like, man, it looks like he's fine, but like, where is he at? You know what I'm saying? Right now he's a serviceable starting right tackle. You're starting Tyler Booker, a right guard, who is a rookie. And what was my concern about the Commanders offensive line is that he's a rookie. You're right. Starting Cooper Beebe at center, who's a second year player. Again, there's some developmental curve there. Tyler Smith, I think, is maybe the best guard in the division. So we'll give him that. And then Tyler Guyton, who struggled tremendously at points last year, like really, really struggled. So to me, I kind of say to myself, three of those spots are not great, you know, in terms of confidence going, in terms of young players going into year two. So in one case, it's a rookie. Like, that just seems tough to me. And then when you look at New York, just by comparison, I think New York is maybe a little bit more consistent. So like, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, Craig, but the way I look at it is like Jermaine Eluemunor, I think, is a good starting right player. And I personally think he's better than Terrence Steele right now at this point in his career, right?
Yeah.
Greg Van Roten, I think, is fine. Like, he's kind of a wash, but he has the experience on his side, and I think he's going to be better than Tyler Booker, right? John Michael Schmidt is in his third year, I want to say, maybe fourth year, and has struggled. But is there a noticeable difference between him and Cooper Beebe? I would say probably not at this point. John Runyon is fine. He's a get-on-base kind of guard. I think they could definitely get better there, but he's a get-on-base kind of guy. Then you maybe have one of the better tackles in the division, Andrew Thomas. So, I don't know. That feels on paper like a more consistent group than Dallas. There's less question marks to me in this group. And with an offensive line, I think you want consistency. You want guys that have done it. You guys that have experience. And I'm not sure Dallas has that.
So let me help you parse through your thoughts here with a question. Are we not giving Dallas's floor enough credit because New York's ceiling is lower? In other words, are we looking at New York and being like, there's not a lot of variance here? We think they're fine, and at best, they're a little better than fine. Versus Dallas, where it's like, at worst, what are you? At your best, you're actually really good. Like, if Guyton clicks, if you know some of these guys that have higher ceilings hit their ceiling, there's a wider gap of possibilities. But if we compare floor to floor, is Dallas's significantly lower than New York's? Because if so, then we have a conversation. If not, then Dallas is obviously the correct answer with a potential to go even above Washington potentially.
I think so. And I think I'll tell you why. Like, Tyler Guyton at points last year was like non-playable. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it wasn't, and everyone knew he was going to be a developmental player, right? He's got everything you're looking for, but he's developmental, right? So there were times where he's benched. He's been multiple times in the course of the season because guys are just running around him, or he can't handle a bull rusher. He's got too many holding calls. He's got a false start, right? And so Tyler Booker, again, was one of the more consistent prospects from a mentality standpoint. But when you look at him, he ran like a 5.4 40-yard dash.
Yeah,
his movement skills weren't good. Not very explosive. And usually those guys have a hard time in the NFL. Do I think Tyler Booker's going to be okay because of the mental wiring? Yeah, but I think the lack of elite athleticism would lead me to believe that he's going to be in for a tough year. So I do think there's a world where the bottom just falls out of this thing, right? Like Cooper Beebe next to Tyler Booker, like, you're losing that support of Zach Martin to kind of help you get on the same page all the time. Like, again, Tyler Smith is a beast. Don't get me wrong. But there's just three young variables in there that could collapse on themselves. And then all of a sudden you're just taking away. Maybe this is the 25th and below group in the NFL.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. And you're like, oh, that's not very good.
Obviously. The good news is for them that Dak is one of the best at the line of scrimmage quarterbacks in the league. Like, his mental processing helps, but it's different having that dude back in the shotgun versus Zach Martin right next to you. He's a young player, or opposite you at the other guard spot, being able to do what he can do. All right. So if that's the case, then our rankings would go Philly, Washington, New York, Dallas.
I mean, and maybe I'm being too hard on Dallas, excuse me, but just feels like yes, the ceiling is very high with that group. But I also feel like there's a ton of question marks about some of those pieces. And I like Tyler Booker, but again, I'm also aware.
To me, it's also an infrastructure thing, right? It's like, what is Brian Schottenheimer as a head coach, you know, OC? Like, what? They don't have the coaching staff they used to there.
And that's a good point.
And also, like, what's the play calling going to look like? Because that's another thing. It's like, in theory, I think they want to push the ball down the field vertically. Like, that's why you go get George Pickens. That takes time. Is that going to wind up being a huge issue for this offensive line?
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is you bring up a great point. Like, are they going to – which situation is the best for them? You know, so I would say Jaden Daniels, because that quickly gets the ball out of his hand, is probably one of the better situations, better quarterbacks to be blocking for. You're not going to give up a lot of sacks, not going to give up a lot of pressures. Dak holds the ball a little bit, not as much as Russell Wilson. So even though on paper that offensive line is probably fine, like statistically, are they going to come across as being worse? Because they've got a rookie quarterback, they've got a guy who holds the ball a lot, and they've got Jameis Winston who could potentially be playing back there. And to me, none of those sound like great people to elevate that group.
Yeah.
So maybe on paper they end up being worse, or at the end of the season they end up being worse because of the quarterback situation. But I think on paper, I'm the most leery of the Dallas one.
All right, so for the graphic, if you will, it is Philadelphia, Washington, New York, Dallas. All right, if you want to hear the rest of our NFC East divisional position rankings on the offensive side, check out Take Command this weekend when you get a moment. We did quarterbacks, so we'll tell you, Jaden did finish at top, and we had quite the discussion about 2 versus 3. Then skill positions as well. We did running backs and receivers and tight ends together. So check that out wherever you get your podcast. We'll do defense, and we have some great mailbag questions for our shows next week. All right, when we get back, Mystic Scart, Brittany Sykes.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.